Appreciate the privilege and honor it is to preach here at Home Church. It's always good to come back here, as we spent 3 years as members here, and it was soon be 30 years since we left here. Doesn't seem like it, but some may say you look like it, but that's all right. When we come back here, I think the name Home Church has a good ring to it. It's like coming back home. And when I'm here in these conferences, whether it's here or our own conference, which will be in just a few months, or the other places, the other churches that host them, I feel I'm amongst friends and family. You know, I've got three sisters in nieces and nephews and children and grandchildren, and they are family, but they're not a family like we have here. In fact, I believe we have family here that would stick closer to us than some of our own blood relatives, and we appreciate each message that we've heard thus far. And since there has been some advice, and Brother Mike gave out some advice yesterday to young preachers, I guess I'll give out some free advice too. It doesn't cost you anything. Sometimes it costs you to put it in practice. But I've heard, not just here, but several times we'll go to conferences and somebody will get up to preach and they'll say, "I was afraid he was going to take my message." Well, first of all, if I prayed and studied to come here, it's not my message. It's the Lord's. And if he gives two of us the same message, we need to hear it twice. So don't ever worry. I don't worry about somebody taking the message that the Lord has given me. If it was my message, it wouldn't be worth preaching. So don't ever worry if somebody gets up. And I don't remember how many years ago it was when Brother Mark Sr. Surrendered to preach, but Brother Titus had him and I in the same segment. He preached first. We used the same text verse, and he said afterwards he's glad it was me that was second instead of him, because he wouldn't know what to do. We didn't preach the same message. So don't ever worry about somebody taking the message the Lord's given you. That didn't cost you anything. It's free, and just put it to use. And so we want to ask you to turn to two portions of Scripture this morning, Proverbs 30 and Mark 13. Proverbs 30 and Mark 13. We'll begin reading in verse 11 here in Proverbs 30. It says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their own filthiness. There is a generation, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from the earth, and the needy from among men." In Mark chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death." Our subject is, there is a generation. Now, I know there are many people who try to tell us what a generation is in the Scripture. And I understand the theology in that sometimes, as far as time periods. And we understand also that my sisters and I are the next generation from our parents, and my children are the next generation, and my grandchildren are the next generation. I understand though that. But I don't believe that we're talking here about a specific time period. I don't think we're talking about a specific generation from parents. I believe we're talking about the time of the end times when the Lord will return to this earth. And as we will be looking in these scriptures today concerning these generations, I believe if we look around us, we can see this generation around us. Doesn't mean that everybody here fits into that generation, but we are amongst this generation. As we look here in Mark chapter 13, again in verse 12, and this is why I draw the line, I believe that this is talking about the time period when the Lord will be returning. This is what he's talking about in here. And he says, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death." Now, we're living in a wicked, messed up society. Not just in the United States, but it's worldwide. We're in an epidemic. No one, virtually no one, or few people, have any concern about anyone but themselves. And I believe these scriptures we've read indicate that generation. We're living in that generation when no one matters to anyone except themselves. The last 11 years, I've worked in the alternative school for Todd County Schools in Elkton, Kentucky. And I've seen much of what we're going to speak about today. I've seen it firsthand. When they interviewed me for that job 11 years ago, they asked me why I thought I wanted this job. And I said, my hope is that I might have a positive influence on some of these children. And I believe I have. I will have kids that we had 8, 9, 10, 11 years ago, and some of them I won't remember them. I mean, until they tell me who they are. I'll see them at Walmart or someplace, and these are the ones that come out with a positive, on the positive end. And they will thank me for helping them. On the other hand, as Mr. Shaw, who's been the director since we started the school, he says, everyone, with few exceptions, that didn't make it through our program have ended up in prison. It's true. You can only help those who receive the instruction. There's others you can teach them. And we can see this in our own children sometimes. You can teach them, you can show them, but you can't lead them to water. I mean, you can't make them drink the water. You can't make them do what's not in their mind to do. But we see here, as we look over in Luke chapter 21, concerning this time that we are living in. Luke 21, and beginning in verse 16, he says, "And ye shall betray both, ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." We understand here he's talking about us who will be persecuted and even put to death. But in this world we live in today, I've seen parents who have, for lack of a better term, just kicked their kids to the ditch and gone on. No concern about their children. No concern about any obligations or responsibilities. They're in the way. Let somebody else take care of them. And as we get back in these generations in Proverbs chapter 30, I believe that is the beginning of the problem. You, is what they say, to have respect, you must give respect. Parents must have an element of respect for those children. If you don't respect them, you won't correct them correctly. You won't follow biblical standards for discipline. It's aggravating when you're out in public somewhere and there's some kid that is squalling to the top of their lungs because they can't have the bubble gum they want or they can't get the kind they want. And the mother or the father, whoever it is no, don't do that. You know, no fuss. Take them out and bust their bottom. When we went grocery shopping when I was growing up, the whole family went. And my dad said, don't you touch anything. And if it looked like you was grabbing for something, he grabbed you, and you got your behind paddled in. You know what the other three that was with us, if it happened to be me, they didn't touch anything. You know why? Because they knew the alternative. No one has any responsibility. No one has any alternative. All they have is bad examples. In this generation, another problem is no one knows who they are. We have a generation in this world today or upon this earth. It's my kids, your kids, our kids, and who are these? I'm serious. That's the way it is. When I was pastoring over in Eastern Kentucky, I was helping the middle school football program, coaching over there, and we had a young man. He said, Coach, he says, in my family, he says, I've got 22, he says, between us, there's 22 of us. Some of us are full brothers and sisters, some of us are half brothers and sisters, and some of us are just step brothers and sisters. What kind of a world is that? What are you teaching these children? In those cases where the parents have been married multiple times, you think they give any respect in their teaching towards the ex-spouses? No. There's no respect. And I believe this is what we're talking about here in Proverbs. This generation, there is no respect. No respect. For the last little over a year, I've been taking care of the ISAP program within our school. I had a young man come over last fall. And the first thing they do when they come in my room is they write the ISAP rules. 2 pages. And he begins to talk as soon as he turns them in. I said, young man, did you read the rules as you wrote them? Yeah. What are you talking for? What does that say about talking? I'm supposed to raise my hand. How come you didn't? And then immediately he raised his hand and he starts talking about the assistant principal that set him over, calling him Euler. And I said, wait a minute, that's Mr. Euler to you. And then referring to the teacher that sent him to the assistant principal by his last name. No, that's not the way you do it in here. Well, I didn't have any office referral. And I says, one more time that you call a teacher by their last name or Mr. Orla by his last name. I said, I'm going to give you an extra day. And I don't have to have an office referral to do that. And he says, oh, because it's true. When they're in my room, if they do not follow the rules, I can give them extra time. Now, there's some of them I'd like to, but I don't want them there. I want to get rid of them. But as we look back in Proverbs, again, chapter 30 and verse 11. It says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." I've seen children, male and female, come through our program that their mother or their father or both are doing time in prison. They're being raised by grandparents. Some of them are well up in years and too old to try to, not that they don't want to, but too old to be able to enforce any discipline upon them. And the parents didn't have any respect for society. They don't have any respect for their children. They don't have any respect for their parents. What do you expect out of the children? But there is a generation among us, young and old, that curse their father. When I was in the Army, and that's been a few years ago, I was walking down the hallway past the orderly room, and we had just gotten a new first sergeant. And some kid was talking to me, and he says, "Where are you from?" And I told him I was from, that time, Mount Morris, Michigan. And he says, "How's your old man and your old lady?" And I said, "Hey, I don't have an old man or old lady. I got a mother and a father." And as we was going down the Coke machine, as we coming back, that first sergeant, he says, "Hey, son, come in here." I thought I'd done something wrong. He says, "I want to congratulate you," he says, "for having a mother and a father, not an old man and an old lady." You know, it's the most disrespectful thing you can do to refer to your parents as the old man and the old lady. But if you look into many times the situation of those homes, there's no one there to teach any respect. The fathers haven't taught their kids to respect them. The mothers haven't taught the children to respect their fathers. And the fathers haven't taught their children to respect their mothers. What can you expect? And then when those children reach maturity and they have children, it's 10 times worse. We need to love our children. We need to teach them respect. Amen. My mother has been deceased nearly 26 years, my dad nearly 20 years, and I owe them as much respect today as when they were alive upon this earth. It doesn't stop when they leave this world. And that is also involved as far as love is concerned. Fathers are not viewed today as a protector of the family. They're not looked upon as the strength of the family. They're not looked upon with any respect. And many times because they don't offer any respect. When you have a father who has spent most of his time behind bars, what kind of example have they given their children? We had a young man several years ago. He'd graduated and went into the military for a while. Turned out to be all right. But at the time that we had him, I believe the first time he was in seventh grade, his grandfather died, his dad's dad. His dad was doing time at Eddyville. He hadn't seen his dad in 3 years. But when he did at his grandfather's funeral, it was with two guards that brought him in and kept them handcuffed to him during his father's funeral. What kind of example was that for that child? There is no respect. There's no honor. There's no example. Now, what are fathers supposed to do? They are supposed to be the leaders of the family. They're supposed to be the head of the family. They're supposed to be teaching what is right and what is wrong. As we look back in Hebrews chapter 12, in Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning in verse 9, he says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure." And that doesn't mean because it pleased them, "but for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exceeding," "exercised thereby." This is what fathers are supposed to be. When my mother was home and my dad was working, she was the authority. She didn't hesitate to punish us. And there was two occasions I remember myself. My sister in Florida says she remembers three, where something took place. My dad wasn't home. No one would own up to it. So she lined us all up, and one at a time leaned us over a kitchen chair and put John Henry, that was her leather strap, to our behind. She says, "Now I know I got the guilty wretch." Vicky said one time she knew it was her. But we all got it. Discipline. Discipline brings respect. Discipline serves a positive purpose. Now, as we've seen here in verse 10, they said, "For after their own pleasure." I've always interpreted this like with my mother and things that she taught. She says, "We are doing this because we think it's best for you." Our parents corrected us because they thought this was best for us. You know, you look back on it now, it was. It was best for us. It was for our profit. It was for our profit. Today's generation does not bless their mother. Some you talk to today will tell you, and I've had them tell me this, "Well, you know who your mother is, but you don't know who your dad is." In some cases, that's true. I'm so thankful that I knew my mother and my father. I'm thankful that they were in a generation where there was not a high divorce rate. From the time I was born to the time that my mother died, I only knew one set of parents. They stayed together. They went through the good times and the bad times. They raised four children. They made no excuses for us. And they disciplined us. And our mother got the respect that she needed. Again, you see some of the children today and what type of mothers they have. And you can understand a little bit where they're coming from. We had a young man that he's now in state custody in a foster home. A few months back, they were waiting for the bus, and he was calling his mother a lot of ugly names. And Mr. Shaw said, "Stop. You're not going to talk to your mother like that here." And one more time, he called his mother a name. And Mr. Shaw got a little ugly. "I told you, you will not talk about your mother that way here. You open your mouth one more time and we're going to my office." And when he does that, he says it's a call, come meet Jesus meeting, and they don't like that. He shut up. But why? Why have we come to a point in time where a mother has absolutely no respect from her children? This boy's mother has spent about half of her life in prison. That's got a lot to do with it. But it doesn't alter the fact. You know, we only have one set of parents. We did not. There's two things in this world that we have absolutely no control over. When we entered this world and when we leave this world. We have the parents that we have because God designed it. Let's have respect. He says in verse 12 here, he says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their own filthiness. There's a generation, and we're in this generation. They're pure in their own eyes. There's a generation out here now, you can have all the good laws, and there's plenty of bad ones, but all the good laws on the books that protect one another, protect our lives, limits things. And there's a generation today that says, if I want to do what you're saying I can't do, I'm going to do it anyway. One of the simple things is speed limits. They just recently raised the speed limit on 6880. That's the four-lane road that runs across our area, from 55 to 65. And I keep forgetting that. I get out there and I start to set my cruise control on 55. Oh, I can drive 65. But you know, when I drove 55, it was whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And now at 65 is even same thing. Whoosh, whoosh. People ignore speed limits. Why? Because they don't think they apply to them. And that's what he's saying here. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. And one of the areas that people are pure in their own eyes is that dealing with drugs. I've had children sitting in my classroom say, well, I'll be glad when your generation passes from this world because all drugs will be legal. It's very possible. Very possible. Why do they think like that? Because they don't really see the danger of the drugs. Mr. Shaw at one time suggested, and the superintendent we had at that time turned it down, take all these kids that have come over to our school for drug offenses over to Western State Hospital and show them the results of people who have fried their brains on drugs. He says that's probably the only thing that will cause them to realize drugs shouldn't be abused. But they won't let you do that. They want to isolate those people, keep them away from everybody so they don't see. Why? Somebody's making money off this. But there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. And it's not new to this world. We know the parable of the Pharisee and the publican that the Lord told. The Pharisee come in and, you know, he boasted upon what he did, and he didn't do this and he didn't do that, and he wasn't like this old publican over there. And that's this idea in this world today. You know, I'm not like you. I'm not a religious fanatic like you are. I don't make myself out to be some kind of perfect individual. And I say, I don't. I do not. But at the same time, when they justify themselves and everything they do, that's exactly what they're doing. It's exactly. Just like the Pharisee. He wasn't like this old publican over here. What did the publican do? He's over in the corner, wouldn't as much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, in this generation we're living in here today, no one's a sinner. No one's a sinner. It's my choice. And you can't infringe on my rights. Well, I can. I can tell you what's wrong with you. You don't have to believe it. Homosexuality was touched on. I don't remember which one of the preachers yesterday. There's a young man in, I can't tell you what he did, but he's signed for us the rest of the year, but he claims to be gay. And they're not happy. That's what gay really means. But part of my job is to frisk the boys. One, they walk through a metal detector. Mr. Dive, one of the men that I work with, he checks their shoes and their coats and their bags and everything, backpacks, ISAP suit and suit, have those in. I have to frisk them. And I mentioned one day, I said, I don't like having to frisk him, because when he comes through that metal detector, he gets a big smile on his face, puts those arms up and backs up to you. And I said, he seems to enjoy being frisked. One of the ladies from the board said, well, you just have to tell him you don't agree with his lifestyle, but it's okay. No, it's not okay. You need to tell them what they're headed for. They're headed down a road that they're going to drop into the lake of fire. And there's only one way to avoid it, and that's repentance of that sin and trusting Christ as the payment for that sin. Well, we got to be nice to them. That is nice, and that is love.
Amen.
If you see somebody that's getting ready to walk into a burning building, and they have no hearing and no sight, what are you going to do? Sit there and let them walk in? No, you're going to help them. You're going to take them away from that fire. Same way, if you see somebody in that lifestyle, should we not warn them? Is that not love? But we got a generation that's pure in their own eyes, and they do not want to hear things like that. He says, yet they are not washed from their own filthiness. They're not cleansed. They can pass laws to justify sin all they want, and it will not wash away the sin. It will not justify the sin. It will not. All the abortion laws, and really, when that Roe versus Wade decision was made, it should not have affected anybody except that case. Michigan, just prior to that, had passed passed a law by the vote of the people that made abortion illegal. And then, 6 months later, or whatever it was, the Supreme Court says your vote didn't mean anything. And that's the way this world's going. And that's why people are justifying themselves, because if you don't agree with me, I'm going to take it to court, and I'm going to get the Supreme Court to say it's okay. Supreme Court is not God. Everyone in this world, everyone in this auditorium today will have to give an answer to God. Does it make any difference what laws man has passed? It's God that you have to give an answer to. If you have no respect for anyone in this world, you don't have any respect for yourself either. And you will give an account of that. No questions. Got to hurry on. Verse 13 says, there is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. I believe he's speaking of pride and haughtiness here. We've never been in a generation that's more proud of their sin. And it's getting worse every day. You know, Brother Art Gunnell's here, we've been friends for about 52 years. He moved in next to our house when we were between 7th and 8th grade years, and we've been friends since. And we were talking the other night at their house. You know, it used to be you could go like a 10-year period and see a big difference, but it's getting now the points almost month to month, a drastic change in this world. And this is because we have a generation that's haughty and proud. People are proud of their sin. People are proud of their disobedience. There's no respect for law enforcement agencies today. In some cases, it's worthy of that. But I think overall, it's wrong. There are a lot of worthy law enforcement agencies out there that are really out there for the protection of the public. And it disturbs me when I hear this younger generation and some of the older generation refer to them in slurry language. Just seeing them drive down the road in their vehicles, making evil, ugly remarks about them. They're haughty, they're proud. How dare they stop me and search my car to see if I got my marijuana or my meth or anything else in there? And when they find it, how dare them take me down to the county jail? How dare them press charges against me? It's their duty. As Brother Keller told us, it's their responsibility. And it's the court's responsibility to prosecute them. And if the judge gives them 1 year, 2 years, or whatever in prison for it, they deserved it. But those who are haughty and proud, nah, I didn't deserve it. They're haughty and proud as far as their person is concerned. And you go out in the public today and many of them act that way. Get out of my way. I was here first. I was in Walmart a few weeks ago and I need one. I was going to buy a new toothbrush. And I come to the aisle. And I didn't know his mother and daughter at the time, but there's two women there. And they've got their cart in the center of the aisle. And the other one's on this side of the cart. And one's on this side of the cart. And I couldn't get down there. So I said, I'll get some other stuff too. I'll go get it. So I got it, come back, and they're still there. So I went and got something else, come back, they're still there. About that time, the girl says, oh, are we in your way? And the mother turned around, well, if we're in your way, why don't you just tell us to get out of the way? I thought to myself, I'm just not that rude. But that's the way people are. That's pride. That's haughtiness. And we know we're not going to turn there, but Proverbs 6 tells us this is one of the things that God hates. It's an abomination unto God. But you tell people that today, and you're the abomination to them. No respect. They also lift up in themselves with this haughty pride, as he says, and their eyelids are lifted up. You respect me, but forget you. Haughtiness. Pride. He says here, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. In other words, they just soon chew you up and spit you out as to speak a kind word to you. How many people have you run across just in the last week or two that's more or less their attitude? Get out of my way. Get out of my way. Don't you dare speak against me. Don't you dare say anything against me. I enjoyed this on the news, I believe it was last week. A woman, 76 years old, her house was being broke into. Back to the individual, kicked her back door in. She fired a warning shot, and she says, I know how to use this, get on the floor. And then they played the 911 tape for us. Woman called. She says, I got a burglar on the floor in my room, in my kitchen, and I got a gun on him. And the 911 operator says, do you know how to use it? She says, I do. He knows it. So you better come get him. And they did. I think maybe that's one of the tapes they played up there in Congress when they rejected the gun bill. But 76 years old, you moved, you're dead. You're invading my property. But here, people, if she had not had that gun and had not known how to use it, she'd probably be dead now and they wouldn't have known who robbed her. But these individuals, they want to chew up people like this and spit them out. And it's not just the individuals committing the crimes, it's sometimes the legislators that are passing the laws. There was another man, about I think he was 79 last year, that his house was being invaded, and he picked up a ball bat and beat the individuals half to death. And they decided after a period of time they weren't going to press any charges against him. Why should they even thought about it?
That's right.
See, this is this generation without any respect. Your property is not yours anymore. Your home is not yours anymore. It belongs to the criminals. It belongs to those who want to take it. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Look in Psalms 52 and verse 2 a moment. Psalms 52. In verse 2, it says, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Your tongue. That's the world we live in. Your tongue is like a razor. This devising evil against those around them. What do we do? What do we do? We keep on keeping on. God's word has not changed. Our responsibility is to live by this book. Our responsibility as parents and grandparents is to show respect, enforce discipline, and teach what is right and wrong according to God's word. Be compassionate towards those who are sinners. We may be persecuted. We will be persecuted. We may be imprisoned before the Lord comes back. But we need to continue in the truth.
Amen.
We need to continue to give an example to the generations that follow us, how we ought to live in this world. How that we ought to show respect, not just, as we said, not just for those that are here, but even now to render respect unto our parents who have gone on before us. Thank you.